Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And as you can see, guys, and as those of you that will have that follow us on Twitter will know, a bit of to and froing this evening when it comes to whether we're going to do a stream or not. Now, I don't know how this is coming across. The acoustics in here are not great, I don't think. I think the lighting is a bit flaky as well. It feels like it's flickering a bit on the YouTube, guys. Let us know. Feedback in the chat. Can you hear and see us? Okay, if everything is coming across okay, we will power on. Otherwise, we will try and fix it on the fly and see how we go. But welcome to this is the FPL Family Living Room.
Welcome to the FPL Family Living Room.
This is the FPL Family Living Room. Very unusual for us to be in here. As you know, we normally have the stuff from Kicking the Balls behind us, the Liverpool Champions of Europe thing, the Spurs, Harry Kane, Son sign thing. But long story short, and it is a long, boring story, guys, we have a radiator leak in the office right now. We've been sorting it out all weekend, so we are here.
It's hotter than the sun, trying to dry it out in there.
It is unreal. So temporarily we are here in the FPL Family Living Room. Hey, if this is better, we'll do it in here next time, because frankly we're sitting on the sofa. It's quite comfy. I've got my little table with my cup of tea. I'm all right.
It's definitely not better.
It's definitely not better, no, but it'll do for tonight. It'll do. The guys are saying the sound is fine. We can hear you all good. Nice picture in the background. Yes, this is a picture that I don't even know where we picked that up. But there we go, guys. Lots of change this evening. But we felt like we needed to do a live stream this evening. Not least because, and by the way, if I keep looking down and not at the camera, it's because my laptop is on my lap. So I apologise. It's really hard. When I have my little table, I can ignore it. It's on the little table and I'll talk to the camera. But here, I'm finding it really hard not to look at the screen. So if you've got to remind me, look at the camera, don't look at the screen, because I'll be like that the whole time and people will just see the top of my head and it won't be a very good live stream.
I mean, at least you've got hair up there.
At least I've got a bit of, yeah, no ball patch up there yet, so yeah. We'll take it. Thanks for that. Lots to discuss. Did it again, looking at the screen. Lots to discuss this evening, guys. Not least both of our teams completely in the mud. Liverpool, absolute rubbish this weekend. Spurs, apart from the second 45 where they were a little bit better, absolute guff for 45 minutes. And you, Sam, from FPL Family, were at the game today, not long been in through the door. Give us as you usually do when you go to them, give us your gut feel, your reaction to what's happened at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium this afternoon, which you saw live. Not very good for the 45, right?
First 5 minutes, we actually came out and we played football. And I was like, I turned to the guy sitting next to me and was like, well, this is novel.
First 5 minutes was not bad,
actually,
to be fair.
We actually come out and we've kicked a ball around for 5 minutes. It's quite good. And then we reverted back to, oh, it's the first half, we shouldn't be playing yet.
Yeah.
Hugo, I adore that man for so many reasons, but so many issues with him lately. So many flaps.
He's dropped.
So many mistakes.
And in big games as well. That's not his first Arsenal-Spurs cock up, is it? I mean, early in the season he made a clanger, if I remember right.
Yeah, I mean, he made an absolutely appalling one against Villa, which cost us that
game
as well.
Yes, recent.
You know, I was listening to Five Live on the way home and they were talking about how, just play Fraser Forster instead. And I was going, I don't think that's a better idea. And that's my problem, is that I don't think playing Fraser Forster is any better. And at the moment, playing Hugo it feels like you've got at least three mistakes in him every single game. And it's not just those mistakes. Those mistakes are converting to goals.
Yeah.
And like
costing you games, costing you points.
And that, like today, the first goal, it's just a complete, I don't even know what he's doing. It was right in front of me. And we all just were like, how has that even happened? And it really knocked the wind out of us. It completely took the wind out of ourselves in a game that we were doing okay in. And then the Odegaard goal, well, it's a good strike from Odegaard, but I've got to be honest, I'm behind that one as well. Hugo's got to do better.
I'm glad you said that, because on TV, they were lording over Odegaard, and rightly, I mean, he was fantastic.
No, it was a good goal.
We'll talk about Arsenal a bit in a second, but he's a long way out, and Hugo's got a long time to get over there. Yes,
see,
I agree.
And I'm right behind him, and he sees it the whole way, and he just doesn't get there. And we all looked at each other, and we're like, well, that's two clangers you've dropped now. And then he nearly dropped another one later on, had it not been for, I think it was Eric Dier who got in the way of it. It would have been another mistake from him. Second half, actually Spurs lots better. And there were a lot of positives, but not finishing our chances. I thought, Kulusevski made a massive, massive difference when he came back.
Yeah.
Massive difference.
But make no mistake, Arsenal were very good indeed.
They deserved to win. They moved the ball around really nicely. They were clinical. They were pacey. They were confident. no, you know, no bones about it from my side. Arsenal deserve to win the game. However, I can't help but look at Hugo and go, do you know what, bud? Actually, if it wasn't for two mistakes from you, they missed a lot of chances. We missed a lot of chances. If you do better, we could get a point out of that game.
Oh, I think you're clutching there a little bit. Arsenal were way better. And the goal was coming. I think the fact that it was a Hugo Lloris error.
Arteta was talking about afterwards about how, you know, they weren't finishing their chances, and they weren't. They had a lot of them and they didn't finish them. I think we, were it not for those two mistakes from Lloris, we should have and probably could have got something out of that game. I'm just going to turn my phone off.
Yeah, it's buzzing a lot, isn't it?
Must it's be the guys slackers. In the Slack.
Must be the slackers. Guys, let's know what the visuals are like. Here on the OBS streaming software, it's a little bit flickery. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to flick to here, because then we're a bit smaller on the top left-hand side. It won't be quite such an insult to your eyes. And we can get the page with the scores on it, because we'll get stuck into the scores as they are in game week 20. For those of you that are here and live with us, you will know, if you're obviously listening to the podcast a few days in advance, game week 20 will have moved on a little bit. But if you're here live with us on Sunday evening, you'll know that game week 20 is still going on. Excuse me. I've got a really bad cough.
Where's that come from? You didn't have that when I left you earlier.
I've got a bad cough developing. Sorry, everybody.
Lord.
But game week 20 is still on the go. We've still got two fixtures left to go this game week. And we've got treble captain chips in play. I've got my treble captain chips in play. Didn't go well, because obviously you triple captained Erling Haaland. You didn't captain Haaland at all. We'll talk more about that a bit later on. So going into this game week, I'm thinking,
Can I ask a question about your triple captain?
Yes, go on.
Why? What made you decide I'm playing it?
I must admit, I looked at the two double game weeks for Man City, both this one and game week 23.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking later on in the season, and they might have other double game weeks later in the season, depending on their progress in Europe and in cup competitions. But I was kind of one, you know, bird in the hand is worth kind of two in the bush. I was like, well, we know he's got a double game week coming up. We know that there is 5 or 6 days between each of the games in game week 20.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that he's going to get most of those games.
Yeah.
But the thing that it came down to was I looked at both of those fixtures and I thought, Pep is going to go all out to win these fixtures. He's got to.
Yeah.
He's got to be coming back from the break and having had a sort of... They haven't looked great recently.
No, they haven't.
And that was the thing that was putting me off a little bit, I have to say, was that City's form isn't looking too great.
Because that's why I didn't do it.
Yeah, right. And that was putting me off a little bit. But I just got a feeling like if they're going to get anything out of this season, because Arsenal are, 8 points clear now or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's a phenomenal season from Arsenal.
Yeah.
And Pep has got to be looking at it going, well, you know, we're still in Europe. We've still got this. We've still got loads of games coming up. And we're 8 points behind. These were must-win games. What does it happen? They go to Old Trafford and they lose. In the same weekend, Arsenal win their North London derby. It's looking increasingly difficult for them. I will be very interested to see how Haaland and co. now get on at home to Tottenham. Although if you play like you did today, I feel a little bit more confident in my triple captain, I have to say.
It could be anything. Because we said, didn't we, after the Manchester derby yesterday, because obviously I'd captained Rashford and you'd triple captained Haaland. And
yes.
Afterwards, when we were driving home, we were saying, if you were now making the call between the captain's armband on Haaland or Rashford for the games that remain in the double, you'd probably rather it be on Rashford.
Well, I said that to you 24 hours ago.
However, yeah. That was going to be my next question. So yeah. Having watched Spurs today, I said on the pods and stuff I did last week, I don't think Spurs keep a clean sheet in either of the two games. And
yeah.
Obviously they didn't today. Yeah. And I don't expect them to against Manchester City. I'm kind of interested to see what Pep does, though, because his comments after the Manchester United game were a bit...
very salty, weren't they? I don't care if we don't win the league. I don't care if we win the Carabao Cup. We've won them before. There's a bit of sour grapes. Well, yes, it is sour grapes, but there's definitely a bit of kidology going on there. There's a bit of mind games, isn't there, I think?
Maybe.
I mean, he's obviously kicking in the mind games nice and early, Pep, because he needs to, frankly. Because he needs to. They need to do something to stop Arsenal walking to this title, because Arsenal look frighteningly good, guys.
I don't think he's going to stop him.
Super chat from Duncan Crawford. Hey, Duncan, how are we doing, mate? He says, hey, Bonfields. Hello, mate.
Hello, Duncan.
As you know, I bench boosted. Good lad.
Yes,
currently on 320k green arrow. Oof.
Nice.
Up to 185k with six to go and Rashford captain. Let's pull the band-aid off and let's get stuck into these games nice and quickly, Sam, because we've got to talk about games. We've got to talk about game week 21 that's on the horizon as well. I looked at my bus team for game week 21 and I have to say, didn't much like the look of it, and it didn't have any Brighton midfielders.
I'm not That's really enjoying my bus team for next week either, I must admit.
Absolutely. And we've got to talk about some of these games, and I've got to have a rant about Liverpool. It's got to happen because it's going to be cathartic for me. But let's start with Manchester United 2, Man City 1. A game that actually, because of our son's party, we didn't watch all of.
Well, and we watched the second half with 14 boys.
yeah, we did. We watched it under fairly unusual circumstances, let's say. However, and I need to find the right screen for this. Hold on, so that I can move some bits and pieces around.
It's very hot in here.
Well, it will be hot in here because you've got the heating blasted up so we can thaw out the room and fix the issue in the other room. Yeah, probably. Oh. Probably. I'm both sitting here in jumpers. Here we go. This is the screen, isn't it? Here we go. Right, so let's go to United 2, City 1, a game that we watched on and off. But even from a distance, you could tell that this was a cracking Manchester derby. Now, first and foremost, talk to me about whether Marcus Rashford is interfering with play or not.
Yeah, he's interfering with play. It should have been ruled out, my opinion.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Guys, comments below. Should that goal have stood or not for Bruno Fernandes? It is my strong opinion that that is not a goal.
The thing for me is he doesn't touch the ball, fine. However, his run takes him directly in front of the defender, which takes him out of the path of Bruno Fernandes, the defender that is.
Yeah.
Two, he's right next to Bruno, so it's unclear to Edison and the defence who's taking that shot.
Yeah.
Which therefore means he's interfering with play.
He is interfering with play.
If I was anyone other than a United fan, if I was a City fan, that for me is a decision that if the ref and the linesman don't give it in play, VAR have to be given that offside, surely.
Yeah. So what's going through the referee's head 10 minutes ago, United 1-0 down, and you've got to make a decision like that? He was never not going to give it, in my opinion. He was always going to overturn it and give it. Always. It would have been very, very ballsy for him not to do that.
But VAR should be directly telling him he's interfering with play and it should be ruled out. Because it's a clear and obvious error.
We all know what VAR's about, Sam. We all know what VAR's about. And then, of course, United have got... I mean, the stadium erupts. They've got the momentum. I'm not one for always being sympathetic with Pep, right? Because of what he does to us in FPL. But I was sympathetic with Pep. That game was snatched from them, quite frankly. Talk to me about your decision to captain Marcus Rashford, though, this week. Because that is looking like, depending on what happens in the second game, it's looking very good.
I mean, I honestly had the fear. But last week, I wanted to captain Rashford and I didn't. I let fear get the better of me.
Yeah.
And this week, I thought, I can't live life...
In fear.
In fear of Haaland all the time. I have to follow my gut. Because my gut generally...
It's been right. You've just not been pressing the right buttons.
I've not been confident doing it. In myself.
Yeah.
And so this week I thought, do you know what? If we take the derbies out of it, because the derbies are hard and you can't really call derby games, like anything can happen.
Yes.
And it was a straight choice between Haaland and Rashford in a game where they were going to play each other. And I thought, I can't really read that. I've got to leave that aside. So I've got to take it just on the other two fixtures, which is Spurs or Palace. Now, Spurs, absolutely Haaland can score that, but can he get 3, 4, 5? No, I don't think so. Maybe after today I might change my mind, but heading into the weekend, shut up or I'll punch you in the face. I won't really. But
for the podcast, I just did a weird little look to camera as if to suggest that Haaland could get 4 or 5 against you, like the way you're playing. All he's got to do is have a pop shot at Hugo Lloris every 5 minutes and he'll fumble it in.
Well, according to Five Live, they've got to play Fraser Forster, so he's definitely going to get 5. But then I thought, if I look across to the other fixture, which is Rashford against Palace, could I see Rashford getting 5 past Palace? Yeah. They're awful. As proved by losing to Chelsea today.
And as proven by losing to you lot 4-0 at home the other week.
Correct.
Yeah. So
that's why I did it. It was the Palace fixture. The Palace fixture for me was the game. So I feel, and I said this to you, didn't I, driving away from the party yesterday, I feel like I'm winning at the moment because I was an unexpected win. Yeah. I wasn't expecting to come out of that derby with anything from Rashford.
Yeah.
That's a bonus, anything I got there.
Yeah.
And the fact that Haaland blanked is a bonus, because Haaland's going to kill me if he returns against Spurs.
Yes. So tell me about the FPL assets in this game. And so if you haven't got Rashford in your team by now, I think you've got to make the move. Yes. I think it's a priority.
Yeah.
A Manchester United defender also looks like a prudent move, because they did look reasonably solid in that game. They controlled it, and they look pretty good. So if you haven't got a Shaw or a Dalot yet, that looks okay.
Yeah.
Anybody else from Manchester United? I mean, I know Bruno's got the goal, but for me, it's really just Rashford.
Rashford and Shaw are the two for me. I think if you...
Can you go to Martial now that Weghorst is there or not?
No,
really?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it's difficult, isn't it? Because I don't think you really want to go Martial either. We've had this discussion before, haven't we, about Martial and his 60 minutes. I think now that you've got another player there as well that could play in that position, plus the fact you've got Rashford who's going to play through the middle anyway, so if Martial's not on. So, I think you can treble up on Manchester United for sure if you want to.
Well, let's have a look at their fixtures going forward and just see whether you might want to consider that. Now, it's Arsenal away in 21, so I don't think you're diving on it. But then Palace at home, Leeds, Leicester, Brentford. I mean, from 22 onwards, that's looking all right, isn't it, for Manchester United?
Yeah, I mean, I've got Shaw and Rashford going into this one. I'm not doing anything about them, by the way. I'm not panicking on the fact that I've got them versus my Arsenal player.
Oh, Rashford, I think, is fine, know, right?
Yeah. I think it's fine. I think that could be a phenomenal game next Sunday between two teams that are in good form. And you know, Manchester United will want to take points off Arsenal because that brings them closer into the title race, because I think they're in it.
They are now, aren't they,
weirdly? They're in it. They're
United.
In the title
After
race.
After all of the... You know, all of the toils early on in the season, all of the Ronaldo nonsense, all of the Ten Hag and the Fred and the McTominay nonsense early in the season, they're in a title race here.
They're in the title race.
If you're going to say City are in it, then you've got to say United are in it as well.
And Newcastle are in it as well. They're all in it. The four of them. The four of them, they're all in a title race. And they're the top four for me this season. They're the ones that get Champions League football.
It sounds very much, seems very much like it.
I don't think I put that in my predictions, by the way. So
no, I'm pretty sure I did not put Man United in there.
We'll look quite bad at the end of the season. But I think, you know, what it has proved over the last few weeks is that we were all correct in our assertions about Ronaldo and the impact that was having.
So much better with that.
Since he's gone, they're so much better.
And, so much better.
You know, I think I'm not investing heavily. I'm not going to invest any more in Manchester United going into game week 21 because of the fixture against Arsenal.
Yeah.
However, coming out of 21, I will be watching that game closely, because if Bruno Fernandes is in good form, if we see somebody stand out in that Manchester United team in that game, then I will be tempted to treble up for that run of fixtures they have afterwards.
Yeah, well, as the guys are saying, just tread a little bit careful around the fixtures. And of course, whenever we talk about fixtures, guys, at this stage of the season, you have to be aware that there'll be double game week announcements. There'll be blank game week announcements coming up. There is a possibility, if things kind of play out as we expect, because in the Carabao Cup, the League Cup semi-finals, the draw suggests, and this is all kind of, you know, a bit kind of hypothetical, but if we get the final that we expect, which is Man United versus Newcastle, I think most people would say that's okay. Sorry to Southampton and whoever else is left in the
Forest.
Cup. Forest, I think, yeah. So apologies for those fans. But if we get that final, there is a chance, or I think it's more or less nailed on, that United would miss 25. They'd have a blank game
with
25.
Yeah, well, that's the final weekend.
Because it's the final of the League Cup. So, listen, lots of, as usual
that's
with this point in the season,
there's
lots of ifs and buts and maybes. We will deal with what we know on this live stream, and that is right now that United's fixtures after Arsenal look pretty
good.
They look pretty good.
We're talking about a long way out, right? We've got to get through the two legs of the next stage of the League Cup first, alongside like four rounds of the Premier League.
Yeah.
Now, this could be one of those moments where you don't invest because you know there's a blank coming up, and then you miss the hauls that could come for those nice fixtures
That's true. But it's worth forward planning, as you guys are saying, right?
Don't panic on it.
Yeah, but as Ben Holland is saying, right, Newcastle might blank in 25 as well. So if you're sitting there with, you know, Almiron, Wilson, Trippier, Shaw and Rashford, you've suddenly got five out for game week 25. So just obviously keep that in your mind, but we'll deal with it here and now. From a Manchester City perspective, Sam, talk to me. What's wrong with them? They're not quite the powerhouse that they were early on this season. They've not quite clicked since coming back from the World Cup, have they?
No, they haven't. But it feels very much to me like Pep doesn't really know who his best 11 is right now. There's so many changes every week. And I know that that sounds like sour grapes, but I got mine starting this week, all three of them. That yeah. doesn't mean they're going to all start against Spurs, by the way.
Cancelo got the start, didn't he?
Yeah, he probably... Yeah. I mean, I was praying for him to come off on 60 minutes because I didn't see it ending that way, wasn't it? I was like, please bring him off. But that was a pleasant surprise to see him start. Do I think he's going to start against Spurs? I doubt it. There's always roulette that goes on with Pep. But I did actually think that the team he played against Manchester United did well, and I do think that they were a little bit robbed with that goal. So let's see. I think the problem is, and we see it all the time, don't we? If you change, you want to change your team enough that you keep your players fit, rested and ready to go, but not too much that it disturbs the rhythm and the flow of the team and people knowing where they should be and what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I wonder whether Pep's just veered into the too much territory lately and too much change. Because as Klopp is always one for talking about, the rhythm and the way that you play and the connectivity between the players and just the systems and people knowing where they should be and what they should be doing, for me, is so important. Now, look, it's a derby. Derbies are weird. They are totally weird games where, you know, anything can happen. And I don't read too much into the result of derbies, particularly when it's the Manchester clubs. I think that, you know, both of these teams should go on to win the games that they have coming. So I wouldn't panic about your Manchester City assets. But I am wary. I've got three of them currently.
So who have you got? Cancelo and Mahrez. And I brought in Mahrez. And obviously Haaland.
Yeah, I brought in Mahrez as a bit of a... And again, it was a gut feel thing.
He's got great form recently,
great
right?
Form,
so it makes sense.
The issue I have now is obviously he started at the weekend. Does that mean he gets the bench?
Yeah,
but he can score off the bench. We've seen that in the past. I don't think I'll keep him though. My intention...
Oh, so he could be straight out for you, could
yeah,
he?
Yeah, my intention was always to play the doubles with that position. I brought in Mount, he got me the assist last week, and then this week I've gone for Mahrez, play the double. But I don't really like being trebled up on City right now. I don't feel like they've got the form. I don't feel
Haaland
like...
Haaland dropping a little bit deep to get involved with play, is that... maybe. I saw his heat maps and he's not quite the penalty area dweller that he was before.
He's going to be against Lloris, isn't he? Let's be honest.
Yeah.
So I think we have to wait and see what happens against Spurs. I expect Man City to win that game. But stranger things have happened. Neither of us are going into that game in form. So it could be a really interesting watch on Thursday evening.
All right. Well, look, the City fixtures read as thus. It's Wolves next, then it's Spurs away. So City-Spurs twice in the space of two or three game weeks. Then, of course, the second double in 23, including that nice-looking game against Villa. Then Forest, then Bournemouth. I mean, listen, you're not selling your City assets ahead of any of that, are you?
I don't...
Surely not.
But, well...
If you're on De Bruyne and Haaland, you stick, don't you? I mean, I've made my bed with them two. I've now got John Stones in my team. Yes, I did do my transfers too early for game week 20. But if he comes in against Spurs, the way that Spurs played today, I wouldn't fancy Spurs to score necessarily. So... Yeah, I mean, I'm quite happy with them three. I'm just going to ride it out until 25 at least, I think.
Yeah, maybe. Cancelo's a bit of a...
What would you do with Cancelo? Or what are you going to do with him?
Don't know. I'm going to see what he does against Spurs, I think. If he starts against Spurs, then maybe...
Another start against United, another defeat for City. It's a worrying pattern now for Cancelo whenever he starts games. Not that he was... I'm not singling that. It wasn't particularly bad.
I actually thought he played
bad.
Quite well
he
in this
was
game.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what Pep does. It's very hard to read. I got some points out of Cancelo this game week. That's what I'll take from it. So, but I don't know if I want to hold him. I think that's the thing. I don't know if I want a City defender heading into those games. I don't see them keeping a clean sheet against Arsenal in that double game week. Yes, they could get one against
Villa. But Wolves, Spurs, Villa, Forest, Bournemouth, they all look clean sheetable. Even for City with their new kind of attacking style.
Maybe, but you've got to predict who's going to start. And that's the thing. You've got Diaz coming back. You've got Diaz coming back. You've got Ake. You've got Laporte coming back. Like, there's a lot of potential rotation risks going on in that back line now. And that, for me, is a difficult one to read.
All right, so that's the Manchester derby done and dusted. Let's have a look. I've got to get this off my chest. Brighton 3, Liverpool 0. Before I let loose, what are you saying?
Oh, wow. What am I saying? I'm going to do Brighton. That's safer.
Go on then, because start on a positive, because they were really, really good. But despite what I'm about to say about my club, they were very, very good indeed.
I think I sat on the official podcast and said... Brighton, you know, haven't been that solid defensively, and they really haven't. They've been conceding goals, but they were good defensively in this one. But I think that in part is more to do with what you're probably about to say about Liverpool in a minute.
Yeah.
But going forward, they look really good. I think, you know, even...
Excellent.
Even,
excellent.
Yeah,
Mitoma,
but I was going to talk about March, and then I somehow then went... started saying Mitoma, I didn't mean to.
Well, before you do, let me just point out that we've had a super chat from Gaz. Thank you, Gaz, for the super chat. Will everyone pile onto Brighton now, especially Solly March? So let's have this conversation. I think yes. I mean, you've only got to take one look at the fixtures. Let's look at the fixtures for Brighton coming up. Leicester, who before the World Cup were looking more solid, but since the World Cup, since the restart, have not looked that solid at all, Leicester, mm-hmm. Including losing to Forest this week. And then Bournemouth at home, Palace away, Fulham at home. I mean, it doesn't get difficult until 25 when they go to St James's, which is a difficult game. But the next four for Brighton, and the way that they're playing, the way that De Zerbi's got them playing, they were fantastic against us. So I think they will, Gaz. I think people will pile on.
But I do think that people will pile on March. And I'm not sure. I'm not sure that that's the right asset.
So who are the Brighton assets on the radar then? Last week I sat here and said Mitoma. You said McAllister.
I still love McAllister.
And then it's Solly March that gets the points.
He's put his head in the ring. Well, Mitoma got a assist, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Yeah, he got an assist against us, yeah.
Yeah, I think... I still think...
So did Evan Ferguson, by the way, who's 4 point whatever he is up front. He's a new... the new darling of FPL up front, and if you want to go that way.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I have Darwin.
Yes.
Talking about darlings, I have Darwin.
Yeah.
And I very nearly took a -4 to get rid of him this week when he wasn't going to play because I was kind of like...
Ferguson?
Well, like, in my head, I was like, well, maybe I'll get Ferguson because then I can get KDB.
And rather than Mahrez.
In my head, I was like, well, do I do a -4 for that? And then I talked myself out of it because I was like, look, I think Darwin's back fairly quickly. But more importantly than that, I've been talking about Mahrez all week. And if I then don't get him and get KDB.
Yeah.
And then Mahrez scores and I've taken a -4.
It's going to be another KDB, Sam I've been talking
about. I'm
going
to be raging. Yeah, so I've just got to stick with my gut.
Yeah.
So I stuck with my gut. And I'm quite glad I did. I know that KDB got points and obviously Ferguson did. But I'm still quite glad I stuck with my gut on this. Because I don't know if I really want Ferguson. I don't really know with Brighton who I want. That's the problem, is there's so many nice options.
So my view...
You still want Mitoma, right?
I watched a little bit of the highlights because I'm a sadist and I like watching us get absolutely thrashed. McAllister, love him. Lovely player. Just think in that Brighton setup, in the Zerbi's preferred system and 11, he's a little bit more... like he's like a Modric. He's like a sit and control it, assist the assist, quality player. I think there's better for FPL. So therefore, you go, well, you pick between the front three. Now, Solly March is going to, people are going to dive into Solly March.
They will, yeah, they will.
Let me tell you, I have not called my jets on Mitoma. He was brilliant. I know he just got an assist, but he could have had more. And he gave us headaches. Now, listen, my nan could give Liverpool headaches at the minute and our back four the way we're playing. But still, Mitoma was the nuts. And I will be surprised if I go into next game week without Mitoma. I'm pretty sure that I'm going to get him. I'm kind of pleased that Solly March got the 2 goals and the assist because a lot of people will go that way and therefore not on Mitoma.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure I'm going to have him for next week. Super chat from Cyberdebt, just while we're pondering the next moves over Brighton and Liverpool. Si, hope you're well, mate. Evening always says, guess who bought in Solly? Did you bring in Solly March?
Yeah, he did. He bought in Solly March.
Oh, mate, what a touch. It's nice to at least get one transfer right. My daughter turned 5 today. Oh, happy birthday to the little Bedetster. So a weekend of goodness. Mate, listen, the kids' birthdays are, as we found out this weekend, absolutely brilliant, mate. You've got to enjoy every second. That's so good. And you've got to enjoy the Solly March points because not many people... will have had him. I personally, I think if you've got March, like Simon has, you stick, no question. But if you've got no Brighton, I'm pretty sure I'm going to go to Mitoma. Nice player. And also, the other thing is that he's now nailed on in that left-hand side because Leandro Trossard's toys have come well and truly out the pram.
He's disappeared off on the Eurostar to Brussels.
De Zerbi's told him that he don't want to see him anymore and he's probably going to get a transfer. So Mitoma's locked.
What has gone
on there? Like, they've just fallen out, haven't they?
Yeah,
I don't know what's going on,
but...
I tell you what, though, I love to see it.
What?
I love to see it because there is De Zerbi saying, if you don't want to be here, don't want to see you. That is proper, like, that gives me like Alex Ferguson vibes. You know, the whole kind of like Yapstam, David Beckham, you know, not no player is bigger than the club. I love that from De Zerbi. I think that's really good. And he's setting the standard. Arteta did it. Who did he do? Oh, with Alba. Arteta's just like, well, you don't want to be here. Go and drive your blacked out Lamborghini somewhere else, you muppet. And so it's proved at Chelsea's rubbish.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
I think it's really good.
I don't disagree with what you've just said, but I do love Trossard. Like, yeah, I love Trossard.
You lot might buy him. We could, one of us could probably buy him, or he could go somewhere else and he'll be really good. But De Zerbi's like, well, if you don't want to be here, get out.
It's interesting though, isn't it? Because at the beginning of the season, Trossard was so, so good. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, as the guys are saying, Brighton do look very good under De Zerbi, I have to say. It took a little bit of bedding in, didn't it?
But yeah, now they're really finding their feet.
What was most disappointing as a Liverpool fan about this result was that I absolutely knew it was coming.
Yeah, you did.
I said before we kicked off, Oxlade-Chamberlain started, so straight away we start with 10 men. Horrendous, horrendous performance from Liverpool. It is not worth having Mo Salah in FPL right now. Is it worth having Darwin? We missed him. I'll put it that much. We missed him. Because for all of his XG underachievement and all of his wastefulness in front of goal, the one thing you can say about him is that it's proper chaos ball. You're never quite sure what you're going to get out of Darwin, but you're going to get something at least.
Mm.
Whereas with the dross that we had out there at the weekend, we got nothing. At least with Darwin there, you never know whether he's going to get a hat trick or a headbutt, but you're going to get something out of him. So we missed him massively. And I do think that I might just give him a little bit more time, Darwin. I might just give him time to come back into the team. But if you want to sell him, I don't hate it. But Salah, I don't think you can have Mo right now. I mean, if somebody wanted to do Salah to Mitoma this week and put 8 million in the bank, that would be fine. I would be okay with that move, wouldn't you? Salah to a Brighton midfielder.
Yeah.
I just don't think you can have him.
I've been saying for weeks now, I don't think
Salah. Or Trent or anybody else, right?
Yeah. I don't think Trent or Salah or Robbo.
We suck. We're rubbish.
Any of the Liverpool players are worth the money. Darwin's the one I'm torn on. I do quite like owning Darwin. There's something about him.
You never know what you're going to get, like I
say. No, I quite like it. But I don't love the kind of the team that he's playing inside. And that's the thing.
I don't love the team.
I think there's something really... And this is going to be a really ridiculous thing to say, because it's actually not. It's not Liverpool as we see them right now. But there's something really quite frightening about not having a Liverpool player in FPL. Like this week...
Not in a minute.
No, I know. But this week, when I was going into this weekend and Darwin got ruled out, and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have to go into this game without a Liverpool player against a Brighton team who I thought could beat you, but I also thought would concede to you.
Yeah. That was the thing. De Zerbi has got them playing very, very well from an offensive perspective, but they do like to concede the odd goal still.
Yeah.
And we just never created anything. It was such a lacklustre performance. I'm not going to go off on one here because I could spend the rest of the podcast talking about it. But the hungry players that Klopp has bought in, and I don't buy into the Klopp out rhetoric, and you guys can tell me in the comments whether you think I've got my red goggles on or not. You do. I know that you do. But it's...
I think it's time.
It's not. It's 100% not. We're in a transition, right? And we will never be the sort of club that can just go and spend 100 million on some unknown Ukrainian like Chelsea have done, right? We can't do that. We're not that club. We've got to transition. We've got to bring in young and different and hungry players like Jota, like Diaz, like Konate, who keep getting injured. And we've got to slowly transition out the Matips and the Hendersons and the Fabinos and the people that like have peaked. They've all peaked, those guys, right?
Well,
Oxlade-Chamberlain,
yeah,
I'm not sure he ever peaked. How he's in that team, I honestly don't know.
But he's in the team because you've got so many injuries. That's
why
he's in the
team.
That's
the problem. We do have a lot of injuries, but the players that are... Even if you you could look at that team on paper and say, well, all right, well, you still had Matip, Konate, Fabinho, Salah and Gakpo, and you still had a good team. But core of it, we said it in the summer, the midfield is not there.
No, I agree.
And the challenge
we've
got is that any decent central midfielder, be it a Bellingham or whoever, right, or a Caicedo or whatever, they're not going to want to come to Liverpool without top four.
No.
And we ain't going to get top four.
I think the reason I think that it's time is that with every club and with every manager, there's a period where it's the right moment to go. When we got rid of Poch, it was the right moment to go. When Wenger left Arsenal, it was the right moment to go. That it comes to the point where the manager has taken the club as far as they can. Klopp has been an incredible manager for Liverpool. And I think he still is an incredible manager. But I think he's coming to the point where the team that he's fostered for all of these years, as you say, they're coming to the end of their journeys in terms of their footballing skills. Now,
so he's got to build something new.
So either Liverpool's got to say, you're still the manager that we want, and they've got to allow this transition period to happen and allow him to rebuild the squad in a way that we did not do with Poch. We just said, no, time for a restart.
Yeah.
Or you have to do what Spurs did with Poch and cut ties and start again with a new manager and then give that manager the time to start again.
Okay.
And I don't...
Well, listen, this without this turning into a Liverpool podcast, I completely, completely disagree with you. It's not Klopp. It's FSG. They don't invest in the club. We have to sell before we can buy. It's just a disaster. If Klopp gets so much out of those players, and we still don't, and the behind the scenes they don't invest, right? And he still gets out of those players.
Believe me, I know about not investing.
If we got rid of Klopp and we had another manager, it would be a disaster. Honestly, it'd be a disaster. So listen, and I know, yeah, Si, you're right. Losing Mane took the heart and fight from the team. I don't think it helped. Listen, I don't think it helped. I don't think you take one player out and it completely crumbles like it has done. There's a lot of players that have peaked and are declining. And the players that Klopp has brought in that are improving and developing are not fit enough. If we'd have had Luis Diaz this season, we'd be a different side.
Yeah.
You brought in Cody Gakpo as well. Okay, he's got a bed in, right? And he's come straight in and he's had a couple of average performances, but of course he has, because it's his first two games in the Premier League.
It was the same with Diaz, wasn't it? When he arrived last year, you had so many injuries, he had to play straight away.
Jota, I mean, before he got injured, he's unreal last season. Jota was fantastic. So, but people forget that he's been missing all season. Kanate's only just come back this season, right? And he hasn't played with Van Dijk for that long. So, yeah, I don't agree with you. It's more behind the scenes at Liverpool. But let's move on, because it was a terrible, terrible performance from Liverpool. And at the moment, I'm not investing in them outside of Darwin, who I'm giving maybe one or two last chances.
Is he going to be fit
before
next week?
Move him on? Don't know. Eyes on the press conferences.
Because that's the question, isn't it? If he's not fit, he's gone.
Speaking of diabolical performances, let's stay on Merseyside. Everton 1, Southampton 2. I just want to talk about it very briefly. Is that the end of Frank Lampard? Is he going to go? They've got issues behind the scenes as well. It's not necessarily all Frank's fault, I don't think.
I don't think it's Frank's fault. I think there are things that are Frank's fault, but I don't think this situation is Frank's fault.
We're not picking anybody from Everton or Southampton in FPR, though,
are we? I've got Kyle Walker-Peters.
I don't know what. How and why have you got Kyle Walker-Peters?
And he's played for me this week. I had him as coming on for Darwin.
God, right. We're moving on. I don't even want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about it. What else should we talk about? Let's talk about Chelsea, right? So Chelsea get a victory. First one in a long time. Against Palace, a bit uninspiring from what I saw. Obviously, it was on at the same time as, what was the other game today? Newcastle. So I watched the Newcastle game. That was the game that Sky chose to broadcast in the UK, not the Chelsea game. Kepa coming in clutch with 10 points was absolutely welcome. We'll
rage.
Take it.
Oh.
You played Danny Ward over Kepa. A stinker.
Well, the thing is, I looked at the two games and was like, Forrest, yeah, he could clean sheet there. Unlikely, though. And then I looked at Chelsea against Palace and I really did honestly think that Palace might just get a goal. They're so bad defensively, Chelsea.
Can I just say, I was amazed you did it. I was amazed.
Well, I'm amazed you've triple-captained Haaland.
Have you seen Leicester since they come back? They cannot defend.
No,
and they're going away to Forest who are fighting for their
Chelsea
lives.
What have you seen from Chelsea lately that made you want to play Kepa? I mean, it's a mistake, right? But I still... I was driving home in the car afterwards from Spurs today and I thought... Genuinely, if I went back to Friday night, would I have done anything differently? And I still think I'd have picked Danny Ward again over Kepa. They've been that bad, Chelsea. God. That bad.
Palace haven't been, like, amazing. Do you know what I mean?
No, Palace have been awful as well, but I kind of thought they've got more of a fight about them. I thought
it wasn't even a choice for me. I thought Chelsea at home.
Might play a 0-0 draw.
I did actually look at this game and thought that could be a 0-0, or I at least thought it would be low scoring. And if it's low scoring... Kepa will get the save points and the pass completion
rates.
Didn't
do this last week when I played him, did he?
Yeah, but I think there's every chance that he could have got a double digit this week. And so it proved. So 10 points for Kepa. Very, very welcome. But outside of that, Chelsea still kind of just not really... They're just not that investable, are they? From an FPL perspective, I don't know. Just can't get excited about them at the minute. What about this new lad they've bought in? Is Mudryk? know much about him?
No, not really.
I can tell you a bit about him. I can tell you
only
that he's
Arsenal
got...
wanted him.
Arsenal wanted him. Chelsea have nicked him for 5 or 10 million more. What does that tell you about the player? What does that tell you about the man? That tells you that here's a player that's not interested in going somewhere for, you know, because I want to go to a project and get invested in it and be coached by a decent coach.
Whoa, it's... I think Potter is a decent coach. No, I do.
Straight choice between Potter and Arteta. Arteta, who's been groomed and coached by Pep, versus Potter, who basically has just been groomed and coached by Hazard's barber.
I see it slightly differently. I think you go to Chelsea, you're playing. You go to Arsenal, are you?
For 100 million, you are, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
The way that Arsenal are playing now, whose position does he take?
I don't know, listen. But anyway, that's. I think it says a lot about the player that he's gone to Chelsea for the money. Have Chelsea... I mean, he's played less than 30 games in the Ukrainian League. Okay, he's had some very good performances in the Champions League from what I've seen this so far this season. I think he's got something like 7 goals and 7 assists or something in the Ukrainian League this year. So he's having a reasonable season this year. But prior to this, he's 22. So this is, I think he's 22, guys. Tell me if I'm wrong. So this is not a guy that's played, you know, 30 games in the Ukrainian League and he's 19 or he's 20. Now, he is also, the look of it, you just got to look at this lad. He's physical. He looks like a specimen, right? So if he can be coached right and he can develop and all the rest of it, it looks like he could be really good. But it's £100 million. £100 million. It's classic Chelsea Football Club. It's all going tits, so let's just throw some money at it. It's the sugar rush that we mentioned last week, right? It's all going wrong. What do? Sack the manager or invest in the club? We can't sack the manager. He's got too big a contract. By the way, this Ukrainian lad... 100 million, how many years contract has he been given? 8 years. He's on an 8-year contract. So he can go there and if he's no good, he'd just buy him out of his contract. Well, how much will that cost? Chelsea Football Club, I just honestly don't know what they're up to right now. But it is absolutely what they're all about. So I think Arsenal fans, I might be wrong, but I think you've dodged a bullet there. I think you've dodged a bullet because he's obviously not the sort of player, I think, that is interested in a project.
It's interesting that that's your read on it, because I read it really differently. I read it as a player who goes to a club that are investing, because they have to, but a club that actually need him, whereas I'm not sure Arsenal do. If you want game time, go and play in the Premier League. Do you want to go and sit on the bench at Arsenal? Do you want to play first-team football at Chelsea? Don't know.
Who knows?
Not sure. Anyway, I don't know enough about him.
It's another chunk of change from Chelsea Football Club. I think after the bottom Fofana, line is after Kukurea, after Aubameyang.
But the bottom line is
Felix. I mean,
I don't think that there's anybody there. I don't think there's anyone there from an FPL perspective that you would pick.
Chelsea.
Yeah. Not or Palace. Either of them in that game.
Not in a minute.
Interesting. Quick.
Let's move on.
Just a quick one on Tony. Obviously, Tony comes back into the Brentford team yesterday. Put in a very, very nice performance.
Brentford 2, Bournemouth 0. Well done, Tony owners. Anybody? Yeah. I saw a couple of people in the chat saying they moved Darwin out for Tony this week. Fair play.
That was what Max did with his team this week, wasn't it? Yeah. He moved it because I looked at his team with him and I was like, this team has got like everyone you would want. So what should we do? Oh, let's move Darwin out for Tony. Luxury, because he had 2 transfers to make.
What I will say is that so Tony gets the goal. It's a penalty. Tony scores penalties. Shock, because he's just such a good penalty taker. He has bought that penalty. What's wrong with me tonight? I'm really whinging because my team are crap. But Tony buys that penalty like you wouldn't believe. Like, I can't believe the VAR are looking at that and saying, oh yeah, it's a definite penalty. I can't remember the defender, forgive me, whoever it is from Bournemouth. Tony like puts his hand, so the defender's arm is like this, sorry podcasters, he's got, so his arm's like, the defender's arm's like, Tony puts his hand through there, it makes sure that his hand is like, pulls the guy's shirt here and then like rolls himself over onto the floor. He has absolutely bought that, Tony.
Yeah.
He's bought that penalty. It's clever.
Yeah.
It's very good centre forward play. But if you've got a fully functioning VAR, they look at that and go, well, that's not penalty.
But from an FPL point of view, does that not make you want to own Tony more?
Yeah, it does. Totally.
So, because this is where my head is, right? I'm looking at this game. I'm thinking, Tony's back, straight in the team, because of course he's going to go straight in the team. Straight in there with points. How many did he end up with? Because did he get bonuses as well? Yeah, 3 bonus points as well. Like, perfect, right? I'm looking at Darwin, and I'm thinking, Brentford, who are in good form.
Well, also, just a quick shout out on their fixtures going forward. Leeds, Southampton, okay, away at Arsenal in 23. Palace, Man United, decent,
there. There's three really nice fixtures in five there. And would you put it past Tony to get something against Arsenal or Manchester United? No, I don't think I would.
Is he going to be banned? Is this ban happening or not?
Well, I don't know, but...
That's part of the reason I'm not going there.
But equally, if he does get banned, just deal with it there. Like, I'm
just take him out.
So my feeling at the moment with him is that I did not go Tony on my unlimited transfers because he might get banned.
Yeah.
But how long do we say because he might get banned and miss out on points? We might as well just deal with that problem when it comes. I have a wild card that's just sitting there waiting for the moment that it needs to be played.
Mm.
Well, if I've got problems with blank game weeks and Tony being in a
having
problem,
a great season, deal with a great it then. Season,
he's it? Playing really well. Brentford are playing really well. I think it feels foolish.
Yeah, not and despite to have me, him. Despite me getting on my high horse and getting all upset about it as a non-Tony owner, if you're a Tony owner, you are loving that.
Absolutely,
he's won the penalty. Okay, I think the refs and the VAR's got it wrong, but never mind. It's a penalty, and you get the points. So happy days,
correct.
And you get three bonus points. So you take it as a Tony owner. Bournemouth, it's getting difficult for a minute. I don't think they should have appointed Gary O'Neill. It's not looking too clever.
I don't think they had a lot of choice.
Yeah.
I'm not sure they had a lot of choice in the matter. I think Gary O'Neill did a good job in the interim. I think Bournemouth have bitten off more than they can chew in the Premier League. It's sadly the reality. I think they are one of the worst sides in the league. Now,
starting to look like whipping boys, aren't they, unfortunately?
Yeah, it's not ideal, but it does mean that from our perspective as FPL managers, the teams that are playing Bournemouth, the teams that are playing West Ham, the teams that are playing Southampton, they look like the teams that you want to be investing in.
Absolutely. So starting to be a kind of target Bournemouth if your FPL assets are playing against them. What a great game this was, by the way. Newcastle won Fulham 0, which you wouldn't have seen because you'd have been on your way to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. I sat here and I watched it with the kids. It was the best 0-0 I'd watched up until Isak made it 1-0, and then it was one of the best 1-0s I've ever seen. Mitrovic. Owners can consider themselves very unlucky, can't they? Very unlucky. What? Because one slip of the foot and he's on a 0 rather than a 7-8 pointer. It's a tough one to swallow for Mitrovic owners, I have to say. And neither of us own him, right? So we can sit here and not worry about it. But if you own him, particularly if you don't also have the double Newcastle defence, because that Mitrovic penalty would have wiped out a lot of Newcastle clean sheets.
Mm.
So if you're on, say, just Trippier and Mitrovic, you're deeply and desperately unlucky, I think. Because it's by the letter of the law, and for what they were saying on Sky, it's been around for years. You double hit the penalty. And you
can't double hit it. Yeah, that's it.
It's a foul and it goes the other way. I understand it. I noticed actually that FPL didn't give it as a penalty miss and then subsequently did give it as a penalty miss. So he did eventually pick up the minus two, which is a bit of a shame again for his owners. But
I think it had to be a minus two, no?
I think so. Sadly, I think so.
The reality is, he's missed a penalty. And I know he's missed a penalty in a very unconventional missed penalty way.
Yes.
However, it is still a missed penalty.
It's still a miss.
And therefore, it has to be a minus two. Mitrovic, I find, is difficult, right? Because that's two penalties in recent weeks that he's missed now.
Well, actually, in the build-up to... So when... I think it was Pereira that Trippier fouled in just on the edge of the box for the free kick, for the penalty, I should say, that was then, well, the ref wasn't going to give it, went to VAR, gave it. Andreas, you wouldn't have seen this, but he picks up the ball with a lot of intent. He's picked up the ball as if to say, right, I'm going to take this.
Oh, really?
And I think Mitro kind of pulled rank on him a little bit and took the penalty off him. But for a long period there, and they even said it in the commentary, it sort of looked as if Andreas was going to take it.
Really? Mm. That's interesting.
So having now missed that one, I wonder whether subsequent... Well, missed. Kind of went in,
no,
didn't
it? No, but he did miss it.
After having not scored that penalty, let's say. That's now, I think, three misses this season. Does it mean Andreas gets spot kicks now for Fulham? I don't know.
I think Mitrovic is a really interesting FPL problem. Because in many ways, you wouldn't want to sell Mitrovic because he's been great. He has been great.
Oh, he has, 100%.
And I don't want this to become a Mitrovic is a problem, because I don't mean
That's what you've just said.
Because I don't know, I don't mean it in this way. I don't mean it in the way that I think he's been bad or, you know, or anything like that. I just think that one of the reasons why you want to own Mitrovic, in the same way that one of the reasons why you want to own Kane or Tony, is because they have penalties. Mm-hmm. Like, you want to own your, you want to pick your forwards wisely because they've got penalties. If Mitrovic is going to miss every penalty he gets, or now maybe lose the penalty the next time it comes around, that for me in FPL makes me...
Leans you towards Tony a bit,
it
doesn't it?
It leans me a little bit towards more towards Tony over Mitrovic, if I want to take money out of my premium front line, which, by the way, I think I do with Darwin.
Mm.
So I'm kind of torn on the Mitrovic thing, because I'd always in my head thought eventually I'll go Darwin to Mitrovic, but now I'm very much leaning... away from him.
Well, let's have a look at the Fulham fixtures coming up next. So they're at home to Spurs next, which all of a sudden looks like a very difficult game for you.
Football
lot on.
As
that's,
well.
That's a difficult game for you on paper, that now.
Then
they go to Stamford Bridge, which anything can happen in that West London derby, especially the way Chelsea are playing right now. Then it's Forest at home, Brighton away, which actually on paper probably is the harder of the five games here. And then Wolves at home in what could be a difficult to navigate game week 25. I would say that if you have Mitrovic, I think he's probably a hold.
I think I probably agree with you. If you've got him, the question I have is, if you don't have him, like you and I...
Would you bring him in for a dart?
If Darwin's out, would you go Mitrovic? I think I lean more towards Tony at the moment.
So if you were going to replace Darwin because he's out for a prolonged period, straight choice between Tony and Mitro, you'd have Tony right now?
Right now, I think I would, yes.
I think it's tough, that. It's tough.
It is a hard call, but I think the penalty thing
just about maybe leans
just
it towards
tips it
Tony.
To Tony.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I'm very 50-50.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, Spurs and Chelsea up next for Mitrovic, despite what we've just said about the form of those two clubs, it is still Spurs and Chelsea. Whereas Brentford have got Leeds and Southampton.
Yeah, you read the games. If you take it on fixtures alone, you would go with them, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Newcastle, for their part, though, march on. I mean, that's what good clubs do. That's what clubs that are fighting for titles, and they're absolutely up there. That's what they do. They keep going. They can bring on players like Isak. And the one question mark I have coming out of that game now is that is the third blank in a row now for Miguel Almirón.
I was going to ask you this because I obviously didn't see this game. I didn't see any of it.
No.
Almirón was an absolute lock ahead of game week 17.
Yeah.
He was a player that I did not consider for a second not having.
Mm.
Contentious, I'm about to say, maybe. I'm now thinking about selling Almirón.
He was lively today.
There's a couple of reasons why I'm thinking about selling Almirón. One is because those five midfielder slots...
It's getting
really,
harder and harder, isn't it?
They're precious.
Mm.
And I really want a Brighton midfielder. And I don't want to take Andreas Pereira out to have my Brighton midfielder. And my next one that I think is on the kill list, if you like, from the midfield, is probably Almirón. He's in there with Mahrez, probably the two of them. And I know that probably Newcastle are going to have a blank. And I know I said we shouldn't prep for the blank. But I'm also in the back of my head thinking, well, maybe Almirón, three blanks in a row. I really like Trippier. Do I really want Almirón in there, or could I be better off with a Brighton midfielder instead?
Well, as Rithwick says, thank you for the super chat, Rithwick, time to sell Almirón for Ødegaard as well. So you're right.
Yeah, he's another
there
one.
There are so many options now in that midfield that it's starting. That's why you're starting to question the likes of Almirón, who only a few weeks ago we would not have questioned. You're absolutely right.
I agree.
He looked lively today. He looked okay. Looked fine. But just over the last few weeks, starting to look like a £5.8 million asset rather than looking like a £7 or £8 million asset like he did in the past.
Yeah,
that's my concern.
Well, we always said, is this new Almirón or is this purple patch Almirón? And the one of the key things with FPL management has always been, if you're on a purple patch player, get off at the right moment.
Yeah.
Don't hold too long. And I just wonder...
whether it's time.
Whether now's the moment. The Gomares injury...
Yep.
Look bad?
Yeah. Well, so when they showed the replay, his ankle does roll. He then has a bit of treatment. He plays on. Doesn't then come out for the second half. They say on Sky Sports that actually he was going off at halftime and he looked a bit upset. He was in a bit of, a bit of pain, in tears, etc. Eddie Howe's post-match comments, don't know if you caught those, but they said, yeah, it doesn't look good. And actually, he's got to have a scan, but doesn't look good. And he should have taken him off earlier, so that might have made it worse. it looks to me like it could be like some minor ligament damage there, which is probably a few weeks.
Because that does affect. Let's see.
We've got to have a look, right?
To me, that would affect my decision with the
big player for them.
Yeah.
Big player.
100%.
Yes.
That would affect my decision making with Almiron as well. So I'll be keeping a close eye on that too.
Yeah. All right. So that's Newcastle and Fulham. Good game, by the way. Really good game. We have covered Spurs near Arsenal. No, let's not. I don't want to talk about that.
We don't need to talk about it anymore. Spurs.
Yeah. All right.
I think if you want to invest in more Arsenal, do it. That's the only thing I'd say. Like, yeah. I actually still only have Martinelli, so this game went terribly for me.
If blank slate now, playing your wild card, let's say, Arsenal midfielders in order. Who's
Erdegaard?
Who's
yeah, I put Erdegaard
absolutely
at the top.
Put him top. He was fantastic today, by
Erdegaard
the way.
Erdegaard and Saka, I think I would have ahead of Martinelli.
Saka not giving the assist for that first goal?
No, because his intent, it was a cross, not a shot. And that's why. So it's a cross where Hugo, if Hugo's not standing there and makes no attempt to save it, it does not go in the net. That's why.
I think I'd be a bit salty about that if I owned Saka,
but that's how you read it, isn't it? That's how they've always done it. If the ball's not intended to go, I was salty with Kulu, wasn't I? Do you remember?
Yeah.
A few weeks ago, because it wasn't the intended pass. Oh, I want the assist though, thanks.
Yeah. A bit upset that Ben White gets 2 bonus points sitting 3rd on my bench, which is a bit upsetting to say the least. But man of the match, both from an FPL perspective with 3 bonus points and given by Sky, Ramsdale. Very good. Very, very good. Despite the fact he's got kicked by a Spurs fan at the end. Did you see that?
I was there.
You were there.
I wasn't.
You were there kicking him.
I wasn't. I was there. God. It was my end. I was up. We were actually just walking out of our row and turned around to see the fan
just
jump
behavior.
Back into the crowd. And I was like,
just
what's
awful.
Happened there? And then it awful. Literally just erupted on the pitch. It was awful. Because everybody got involved. Yeah. And I was going, my whole concern, I've got to be honest here, my whole concern was, where the hell's Harry Kane? Do not get booked now. Because we've got through the game. Do not get booked right now.
He is known for winding up the crowd, Ramsdale, and I'm pretty sure you will have seen that throughout the game, which they don't show on TV, but that does not excuse the fans' behaviour at all.
Correct. He was absolutely behaving like a rat bag the whole of the second half.
He is an S-house of the highest proportion.
He was awful. However, absolutely no excuse for the behaviour of that fan.
Correct.
You just have to accept that the players will come. It's a derby. You're not expecting him to stand there and be like, oh, I'm really sorry, Spurs
especially
fans.
When he's had a decent game.
You know, he's played well. He kept them in the game in the second half. Yeah. He pulled off some remarkable saves. He was great.
One off of Sessegnon.
It really pains me.
One off of Sessegnon, one off of Kane.
Yeah. He made 3 or 4 that were really important. And of course he lived it up. And of course he's living that up in front of the South Stand, which is where I was, where all the hardcore fans are. And one of them's taken it way too far and they deserve the lifetime ban that they're going to get for it.
Yeah. So, Arsenal marching on. Difficult to... I mean, we're still early in the season, right? What are we, game week 20? We've still got so long to go in the season. But they look really good, Arsenal. Really, really good. I think any of us, we're not in it. Any of the other teams looking at the Gabriel Jesus injury and saying, "Oh, that could be the chink in the armour. That could be the weakness."
No, Nketi's played well.
He's come in and done great, isn't he, Nketi? He's done a really, really good job. So, yes, if you want to double up on that Arsenal attack line, even in midfield, and I know what you're saying, and I do agree with you, those 5 midfield spots in FPL are absolutely precious. But the way that Odegaard's playing right now, the way that Saka's playing, even Martinelli, I know he didn't get the FPL points, but still a threat. You could easily double up. No issue.
The one thing I would say about Spurs, just last thing, Conte did say after the game he's expecting Bentancur back for the Man City game. That's massive. That is massive for us. And that will give more stability in midfield. So that hopefully, if you've got Spurs players, if you're invested in Kane or what have you, hopefully that will give us a bit of...
A bit more meat
in our bones and a bit more shape because we were terrible.
You need something. Let's have a look at our teams for the week. So a small red arrow for you. So had you just made the goalkeeper switch, it would be a green arrow. But 47 is fine. Your captaincy is saving you. That's the one at the minute, isn't it? 20 points from Rashford. Because elsewhere, there's not a lot going on. Obviously,
going on
Trippier with the 9.
But everyone's got him.
So So it's only really captain Rashford that's keeping you afloat.
Obviously, still quite a long way to go. 6 double game week players to go again. look, I'll be honest. On Friday evening, when I saw Haaland's EO, I was like...
worried.
If yeah. I can escape 100k drop here this week, knowing yeah. that all those triple captain armbands are done,
yeah,
I've had a result.
But you haven't yet dodged it.
This no, I have second not. Game... I have not dodged it. Yeah. I've got a highly percentaged rank drop there. Double the percent size.
8%. Percent. This can tell how quickly I was trying to do this. Tonight.
It doesn't matter. Just leave it as is. But yeah, I think going into this one, I've just got to pray for a minor miracle with Spurs and hope that we can kind of defend, because that would be nice. And then look.
Well, your City aren't exactly, they're not exactly pulling up trees at the moment.
You're going
right?
to go and watch my captain, aren't you, this week?
I am. I'm going to the Palace and United game with work, yeah. So I've got to go there and watch Rashford bang a hat-trick past Palace, and you'll be delighted, I'm absolutely sure.
Five past Palace.
You need five for Rashford.
Five for Rashford.
Well, yeah. You need something, because the team's looking a bit shaky otherwise. Kyle Walker-Peters is coming on for the two for Darwin. But yeah, outside of Rashford and Trippier, not looking too great.
Although I did nearly have Luca Dean, so that would have been worse, because he's got injured. Went off after 9 minutes,
got
didn't he?
Got sorted out as well now. Well, a green arrow for me, but again, not wonderful.
That's
it's not
Kepa's
amazing.
Done that,
so
really,
Kepa
yeah.
with the 10 points is absolutely magic, isn't it? I also got to give a shout out to my man Kinder Bueno. What a legend. So he was sitting first bench. Now, I did almost, when the Stones news was, okay, John Stones isn't playing, I did for a minute consider not playing Stones, because I just thought, well, if he misses the first game, Spurs at home versus Wolves have got, who did they play? I can't remember, but they won 2-0, didn't they? So I was thinking, well, yeah, probably would have Bueno in my first 11. So at least I'll put him first sub. I'll put him ahead of Andreas. Obviously, Ben White, that's just stung. I just expected a better performance from you. So to have him at eight, you
all
know,
did.
Eight is fine.
You're not alone.
I just expected better. Now, listen, if John Stones is not available for the Spurs game either, that would be wonderful, because then I'd have Ben White coming on. So
I'll take that, yeah.
John Stones can absolutely not play against Spurs, and then I'd have Ben White come out, be good. But yeah, Rashford with the 10, good. De Bruyne picking up an assist. Haaland, obviously triple captain, so I'm hoping obviously for better against Spurs. But yeah, it's Kepa.
I'm hoping he gets a rest.
It's Kepa and Kinder Bueno doing the business,
Kepa
right?
And Kinder Bueno. Right, going into this week, you'd have said going into the game week on Friday night when we were sat having dinner for Max's birthday, Kepa and Kinder Bueno are going to be the guys that change your game week.
Well, as you know, because I think I said it out loud, I did think Kepa could potentially get an 8 or a 9 this week. I did, you know, because I thought Palace have got to go to Chelsea. It'll be a crap game. It'll probably be 0-0. And if it's low scoring, he's got a chance, because he always does. Gets the bonus when there's a low scoring game.
Didn't tell me that.
So I did fancy Kepa to do well. I wasn't expecting a double-digit haul. I'll take it. Obviously, Trippier's Trippier, right? And obviously, you know, Bueno, I've just talked you through my process. I did think that Wolves could keep a clean sheet this week, so I'm happy to have him coming in for Darwin. So, yes, I would very much welcome the Ben White points if he comes on. If not, Stones at home to Tottenham is fine. I've got De Bruyne, Haaland triple to play, Rashford, Shaw and Kane also still to play. So plenty still to go at the
moment.
You
broke Kane.
51. Yeah, maybe. I didn't enjoy owning him today at all. I thought he was rubbish. Well, Spurs were rubbish, actually. So let's see if you can do better, if he can do better against Manchester City. I do think Richarlison coming back will make a difference. I hope
can't
it makes a difference.
Sit there and say that Kane is rubbish.
He was awful today. It's just, there was nothing about any of your players today. It's awful. Overall rank is 197k. It was, I was up in like 170, 160 at one stage this game week, but the Arsenal players have dragged me back down, because I don't have Odegaard, I don't have Saka, and obviously Ben White sitting on my bench. But nevertheless, I'm okay with that. Plus 5.07%. Got to see, it's all on Haaland, really. If he blanks against Spurs, it's a proper waste of the triple captain chip, and I will be sweating when they have their second double game week in a few weeks. But at the moment, it's okay. I do expect him to get something against you a lot, particularly the way you're playing at the minute. I think it'd be good. So, that is the tale of the tape.
I want to watch that game with you.
Small work.
Could be quite painful watch, couldn't it?
Could be painful. Yeah, it could be painful. Small green arrow for me so far. Small red arrow for you. That is it, Sam. That is it. Thank you guys for bearing with us in the new settings that we've had today.
We'll be back in our normal space next week.
I hope so. Yeah.
Next Sunday it will be fine.
Should be all right by next week, assuming everything dries out and the radiator gets fixed. But I've quite enjoyed it. It's been quite comfy just sitting on the sofa and just chilling out. Been all right, isn't it? Set up. I don't know whether the acoustics are quite so good, but you guys were saying the sound was all right, so we stick with it. What's coming up this week, Sam?
You're going on Sky Without Me this week.
Yes, I've got quite a busy week because I'm on the Off the Bench podcast as well tomorrow, aren't I? Who am I on with? You don't know, do you?
You're supposed to know this.
I don't know. I don't get told these things until right at the last minute. I'll have a look at my email in a second. It'll be me and someone else on the Off the Bench podcast tomorrow. Then I'm on Sky, I think, on Friday.
Saturday.
I'm glad
morning.
You know my schedule. Saturday, I'm going to the Sky Studios on my own. So you're not coming. I don't know if I'm on with Wes or with Holly
You'll
or
be
somebody
on with
else.
Somebody. I'm on kid duty on Sunday. On
Very
Saturday
good.
Morning.
All right.
Yeah.
Very good. And we've got podcasts galore coming up through the week. As usual, we'll have an Ohana podcast on Friday for the Patreon supporters as well. Get over to patreon.com/FPL family if you want to come and support the channel over there. That's it, Sam. That's it. You're going to go and make a cup of tea. Get yourself settled the Spurs performance this afternoon. I assume you're not going to watch match today. I definitely am not going to watch match today this evening.
I couldn't think of anything I'd rather do less than watch match today. I was just going to see whether I could see who were on off the bench with this week.
Well, we shall find out and we shall put it on Twitter. Guys, thank you for joining us here on this quite sort of semi-improvised FPL family this evening.
It's Harry.
Is it me and Harry?
It's Harry.
Oh, yes. Let's go. Harry on off the bench tomorrow. Oh, that'd be good then. Decent. Well, he'll be well happy about Chelsea and I'll be well happy about Liverpool. The way that we're playing us two could be an absolute shocker of a podcast. Get over to wherever you get your podcasts and make sure that you are following and subscribing, of course, us at FPL Family, but also the official Fantasy podcast, because the Off the Bench podcast is stored in that channel as well. So it'll pop up in your feed if you are subscribed to the official FPL podcast. That's it for tonight, guys. Thanks for joining us. Leave us a like before you go. If you're new to the FPL Family YouTube channel, hit that big red subscribe button and we'll see you this time next week. Cheers, guys.
Bye, guys.